right, let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God together, please, if you'll turn in your Bibles with Brother Hall to the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians, please, and chapter number 2 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of that chapter and try to bring the thought from there and a couple other places in the Bible that the Lord has laid upon my heart, I believe, for today. And try to help you and myself and others as well that may be listening, and hope that we can get a hold of something that will bind our hearts together with the Lord and keep our eyes set on the sky, because He is coming again. There's no doubt about that. I'm looking for Him. All right, 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Paul writing here says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." There it is. There's the rapture. There's that catching away that everybody says is a mysterious thing that's not found in the Bible. But there it is, sure enough. And he said that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his last time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can stand in Your presence with great assurance in our heart that You came the first time in a manger and died on a cross and then rose again 3 days later. And Lord, that You ascended back to heaven, and we have that same assurance that You're coming again. I look forward to that glorious day, that wonderful, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray You'll comfort our hearts today with those words and that assurance, that You'll bless everyone that's here, that You'll save sinners, that Lord, You'll bless and help Your people, those that are troubled, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that are home, those that are away from us. Whatever the need might be in every heart, may it be met for the honor and the glory of God. I do pray, Lord, that You'll touch and bless myself as I stand today, that You'll anoint with that fresh oil, that You'll grant liberty and power. Unctionize me, I pray, and help me to say something that will glorify Your precious name and be a blessing and help to Your people, and grant liberty, I pray, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Bible said in verse number 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned." Now, I'm not going to speak on that one particular verse this morning, but I want to preach a little while today on the signs of the times. The signs of the times, the signs and of the coming of our Lord. And I really believe the reason for this is because the predictions that were made by those religious heathen were wrong again. And down through the ages, men have tried to make predictions that the day and the hour and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord Himself said in the book of Matthew that no man knoweth the hour nor the day that the Son of Man shall appear, but only the Father. And to make predictions of the day and the hour is a very foolish thing. And those that do that will show themselves and prove themselves to be fools, if I may use that word lightly. Also, religious, uneducated people that have never studied their Bible. Because people that study their Bible, they know better than that. But you know, the Bible does grant us some signs. It gives us some times that you and I that are saved and have any discernment at all about us can know that the day is drawing nigh. And, you know, and before I get into my message, I want to say this. I think the recent happenings in the last 6 months over in the Middle East is a proven fact that our Lord is soon to come back. And I say this in all love and mercy that I possibly can. The statement that our president made recently is just another sign that the Lord is soon to return. When he told Israel that they needed to give up their territory that they gained in the 67 war, and the Prime Minister, Mr. Netanyahu, sat in the White House and made the statement that this will never happen. And he repeated himself. I want to repeat, he said, this will never happen. And it won't happen. It will not happen. But the fact that it appears that America is leaning toward the Arab nations and falling away from Israel is very evident to Brother Hall. It may not be to you, but it is to me. And there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when all nations shall surround that little country called Israel. And they're thinking, well, their idea is that they're going to destroy that nation. Well, you know, Mr. Netanyahu made this statement. He said, people have been trying to destroy us for 2,000 years, actually longer than that. He don't go all the way back. He said, for 2,000 years. But really, they've been trying to destroy them for a lot longer than that. And they've never gotten the job done. Hitler tried it, and he didn't get the job done. And others have tried it, and they've never got the job done. I'm going to tell you what, nobody is going to get the job done. They might kill some Jewish people, but they're not going to destroy the Jewish nation. And I'll tell you why. The Lord said in Genesis 12 to Abraham, He said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And that is still in the Bible, and I believe it today. And He told Abraham, and I think in chapter 13, He said, I want you to look at all this land that I'm going to give you, even from the river Euphrates under the sea. He said, all this land I'm going to give you. Now, do you know where the river Euphrates is at? It runs right through the nation of Iraq. And when God said, I'm going to give you that land, God meant exactly what He said.
Right.
There's coming a day when He's going to give, when God's going to give Israel that land, and they're going to inherit and inhabit the land that God promised them.
Right.
But the day has not come yet. And the Lord has not returned yet. And I would give you the same admonition that Paul did. Don't be shaken or troubled in your mind that day has come upon us. For it is not here yet, but there are some signs of His appearing. And there's some biblical signs of His appearing. Now, some of the things I'm going to say this morning is probably things that are going to be take effect after the rapture. Some of them may take effect prior to the rapture. But I want to make this one thing clear before I ever begin, okay? That the Lord does not do anything of this nature. Like sending that strong delusion, He's not going to do that at the snap of the finger. It's going to come over a period of time. People are not going to be deceived at the snap of the finger. It's going to take place over a period of time. The mystery, and I'll tell you why it is, because the mystery of iniquity already works.
Amen.
It's already at hand. It's not waiting to begin. It's already begun. That mystery of iniquity has already begun. Now, The Bible said there, I think the first sign of his appearing is the fact that God himself will send a strong delusion that people will believe a lie and they'll be damned. And I looked up that word delusion. God will send a strong delusion. And it amazed me what it meant. It simply means to depart from safety. It means to depart from a place of safety. That's exactly what God... And that's exactly what is taking place. The people are departing from that place of safety. And they are because there's coming a great falling away. Paul said that in verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And then that man of perdition shall be revealed. And folks, I'm telling you, we're living in a day of falling away. I put a drifting away. And I won't say without a doubt, a man would be a fool to say we're not living in that hour. All you've got to do is look at the churches around America, here in America, and there's no doubt in my heart or my mind that people are falling away, are drifting away from the house of God. And that means they're drifting away from the truth. And people are departing from the truth. We're living in a time when people would rather believe a lie and be damned than they would believe a truth. Now, I'm going to tell you, this come to pass on the predictions of this man from California that yesterday that the world would come to an end. There were people that honestly believed that. One man spent $140,000 money of his retirement to put out billboards to try to warn people that the world was going to end on the 21st. Well, I'm going to tell you, they missed the boat, ladies and gentlemen. They missed the boat. And that proved to me that there is coming a great falling away. People are drifting away from the truth. But that day is going to come. That day is going to come. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to be a dreadful day for those that are lost. But it is going to be a delightful, glorious day for those of us that know the Lord. I'm telling you, you know why? They're going to believe a lie and be damned, but we're going to be caught up into the heavenlies to be with our Lord. The Bible said when we get there, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God, I'm telling you, let the devil have a heyday, let the heathen roar, let the heathen rage, I'm going to heaven. Praise God, I don't know the day or I don't know the hour, but I'm going to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but I'm going to heaven. Amen. There may be great persecution, suffering, I don't know what all is going to take place, but I know I'm going to heaven. And it's just like those ladies sang a little while ago, He's in control. You do believe that, don't you? He's in control. That first sign is going to be a strong delusion, and it's going to come from the Lord Himself. And there's going to be a drifting away, a falling away. And it's going to begin in the church. There's going to be apathy in the individuals. He said in verse number 7 that this mystery doth already work. What is that apathy? Come on now, stay with me. Apathy is a lack of emotion or a lack of interest. And folks, if we're not there in the church, churches across America, I don't know where we are. I've never seen such a lack of interest in spiritual things in all of my life as what we're seeing right now. You cannot get people stirred up about God. Brother, that bothers me. I'm going to tell you, I can get stirred up about being saved. I can get stirred up about being born again. I can stir up about being blood bought. I can get stirred up about knowing the Lord is coming back after me. And I'm telling you, for my life, I can't understand why people cannot get stirred up about serving God, get interested in serving God and laboring for God and working for God, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. I'm going to tell you, He'll even give a reward if we give a cup of cold water in a disciple's name. God will give a reward for it. So why should we lose interest in the Lord? I'm going to tell you, it may be because we've left our first love. Now, my brother said this last night. My oldest brother, his wife just died. I called him. Probably talked to him an hour and a half. And I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm not going to lie." He said, "I'm not doing good at all." I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm sitting here in this chair looking at pictures." He said, "That's all I've got left, pictures and memories." But here's what he said now. And boy, and I'll tell you, if it don't fit where we're at. He said, "I've got pictures of Ebby when she was young on that wall over there. And I look at those pictures." And he said, "Gary," said, "when I look at them," said, "my mind goes back to when we first met. And my mind goes back to when we first got married." And he said, "I hope you understand what I'm saying." But he said, "when you first get married, it's like a special love that you have for one another." And he said, "now she's gone, and it's like that I've lost that special love. It's gone from me. It's been taken away from me." And I'm telling you, if that's not where we're living, that's what happened to Ephesus. The Bible said they left their first love. They left their romance. They lay men. That's right. They left their intimate place with the Lord Jesus. That's what happened to them. I'm telling you, that's why we have no interest today in spiritual things. Because there's apathy in the land. There's a drifting away. And it's brought about an apathy in the people of God. A lack of interest. A lack of emotions. And I've got to hurry because I want to quit on time today. Not only apathy in individuals, but there's apostasy in the church. The mystery of iniquity. You know what that mystery of iniquity means? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. What it simply means is that people have nothing to govern them. They're not living under any authority. That is, they have rebelled and bucked authority in their life. Now, come on now. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if there was ever a day when people are bucking authority, especially in the house of God, and what they're doing is what is right in every man's eyes, instead of going to that Bible. Son, I'm telling you, that Bible is still our final authority. What that Bible says is what we go by. That is our rule of thumb right there. It's not what I think and it's not what you think that makes any difference. It's what God said in that book. Amen. We can either live by it or we can live against it. That's right. And I'm telling you, we're living in that hour. Of apostasy in the church. A great falling away. The house of God, people drifting from the truth, straying from the truth, believing a lie, believing false tales and old wives' tales rather than believing the Bible, believing their own heart. That hit us such a chord right there. People are believing what their own heart tells them. I'm going to tell you what the wise man said. He said, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." Not yourself, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Amen. Acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. Praise God, I'm telling you, He won't lead you wrong either. Amen. He'll lead you as a sinner down that path that will ultimately bring you to the cross. Now I'm going to tell you, once you've been to the cross, He'll lead you down that other side of that mountain. Amen! Thank God, that's right. He'll lead you down that other side of that mountain and start you out on a journey that will ultimately bring you to the very throne of Almighty God in heaven itself, ladies and gentlemen. We got a journey and we got a path. And we dare not deviate to the right hand nor to the left. And so there's apostasy in the church. Then I want to say that there's pleasures and power struggles in the world itself. People are caught up with pleasure. That's why there's a falling away. That's why when that delusion is not going to set in suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, it's already here. He said He's going to send strong delusion. But I'm telling you, that delusion in part is already here. You better believe it is. It is already here. Yes, sir. And people are eat up with pleasures. Amen. Serving our flesh. We might as well say amen. May God have mercy on us. We're lovers of pleasure more than we are lovers of God. Lovers of self more than we are lovers of God. Oh, may God help us. Indeed, that's right. And there's pleasures in the world and there's power struggles going on in the world. And I want to say, secondly, not only in this delusion is there a drifting away, but there is a deception of unrighteousness. There's a deception of unrighteousness. Look at verses 9 and 10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know what Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20? He said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. That deception of unrighteousness. People have gotten the idea. I mean, come on now. Somebody help me out. Brother, you can read in the news or you can see it on the internet. You want to hear it on the radio, what you want. And I tell you, there are people out there that really believe they're right, when you and I, according to the Bible, know that they are wrong. But yet they believe that they're right. You know why? Because they've been deceived. They have been deceived. You better believe that's right. There is a deception of unrighteousness going on in the world today. People really don't know what is right. And they won't know what is right till that blessed, Holy Ghost opens up their understanding, that they might receive the word of truth into their hearts. Now, I'm telling you, that word of truth will change them, buddy. It'll change me and it'll change you and it'll change them. The word of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Come on now. Help me out. Amen. That's right. Unrighteousness and ungodliness will abound in the end days. And we're there. I've never seen a more unrighteous, ungodly crowd as what we're seeing today. What was it I read just recently? It might have something to do with this sodomite crowd. I can't remember. But I'm telling you, friend, I've never in my life seen how the unrighteous ways that people are living, and ungodly ways that people are living in today. Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. It didn't have anything to do with that. They had I think it was in Wisconsin or Minnesota, one in their opening assembly. They always have prayer. And one of the congressmen has an opportunity from time to time to invite a man to lead in prayer. So he invited his pastor to lead in prayer. And his pastor got up and made a few words and this and that. And then he began to pray. And when he closed out his prayer, he said, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And immediately the speaker stood up and said, scratch that out of the records. And he called on the chaplain and had the chaplain to stand up and read in prayer. He said, we cannot discriminate in this chamber on religion, because that man dismissed his prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus, or prayed his prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to that guy out there, I hope he's listening right now, Jesus, 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 I hope he heard. Praise God, that's right. I'm saying, hey, do you think we're not living in a world of unrighteousness and ungodliness? Brother, when they think that you're wrong and you're a bigot and you're biased, when you preach or pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Sustainer of all things, the Savior of the souls of men, the Lifter of the fallen, the Lover of those that are brokenhearted, and amen, I'm telling you. God help us. Ungodliness. Then there's not only going to be a drifting away and deception of the unrighteous, but there's also going to be damnation to unbelievers. Amen. Damnation to unbelievers. Amen. That's right. That's what he said in verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now that's one of the signs of the coming. Is the Lord is going to send delusion to people. God Himself, not from the devil, God Himself will send strong delusion. Then I want to say secondly, not only will there be one of the signs is a strong delusion, but another one of those signs is that there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lust, mocking. It said in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 1, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you both, which I stir you up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Scoffers, mocking, making fun. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible said there in 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, hey, that these scoffers are willingly ignorant of that. It said in verse 5. They are willingly ignorant. Oh, they said, oh, we just don't know. What was it that someone said in the office this morning? That up in, I don't know if it was in Times Square or where there was at this crowd. They were talking about the rapture and they was there screaming, "No rapture. We choose hell," or something like that. "No rapture. We choose hell. No rapture. We choose hell." I'm going to tell you, they're scoffers. They don't think there's going to be a rapture. But I'm here to tell you, friend, let them mock. Oh, men, let them scoff. Let them make fun of you and I. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when the Christ Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and bless your heart. Those that have died in Christ is going to get up out of the grave. Hallelujah to God. And if we're still alive and remaining, we're going to be caught up together with Him in hell. I said I believe that this morning. Yes, I believe that. Let them mock. Let them scoff. Let them... You know, let them say what you want. I'm going to throw that thing out in the field a minute. Praise God, I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. He's coming. Whether that crowd wants to believe it or whether they don't want to believe it, let them scoff. Let them talk. But He is coming. I'm telling you, that's right. You know what they scoff? You know what they're scoffing at? They're scoffing at God's power. And here's where I find that. Listen carefully. Verse 4 of that text. And saying, where they're mocking, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." You know what? Hey, they mock the power of God. They're mocking and scoffing the power of God. And His power to create. Not only His power to create. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to have to. He speaks there in 2 Peter, and you can look it up. He talks about the world that then was. Out of the water and in the water. He talks about the world that now is. And He talks about the world that is to come. Oh! Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you what they're mocking. They are mocking the power of God to create and then bring to fruition that which He creates. And He's going to. I'm telling you, the earth may be full of sin right now, but there's coming a day, hallelujah, when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. That first heaven and that first earth was destroyed by water. This earth that we now have is reserved to the day of judgment and shall be destroyed by fire. But buddy, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth... You read that chapter. I'm not going back to it. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. I said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. No more ungodliness. No more sin, but righteousness. Let them mock. Somebody said, when is it going to happen? I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. He's coming soon. Maybe morning, maybe evening, maybe noon. I don't know when, but He's coming soon. Hallelujah to God. And the signs of the times are all around us. His soon return is all around us, folks. My admonition to you was, be to get ready. If you're lost, you need to be saved by the grace of God. If you're saved and not ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Get your heart prepared to meet God. Prepare thyself to meet the Lord, for He's coming. Amen. I don't know when the last time I heard a message preached on the second coming, but praise God, He's coming. Now I'm telling you, we're going to heaven for 3 or 7 years, and after that 7 years, we're coming back again. And there's going to be a sharp two-edged sword out of His mouth. Hallelujah to God. Better believe it, He's going to destroy the nations.
Amen.
And 1,000 years later, old Satan's going to say, well, I think I'll go up and do a little work. But you know something? The Lord's going to destroy him, like the Bible said here, by the, what was it in my text? By the word of His mouth and His glorious, I can't quite find it here, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that? Consume Him!
Yep.
Consume Him! That means He's gone!
Right.
With the spirit of His mouth. And then destroy Him by the brightness of His coming.
Yep.
I'm telling you, He's the prince of darkness and He can't take light. Woo! I'm going to tell you, there's going to be so much light there. Hey, He can't handle it. The devil is a prince of darkness, and he can't handle light. I'm going to tell you, there's one coming that shines brighter than the brightness of the noonday sun. There's one coming that shines brighter than all the stars in heaven put together. There's one coming that outshines the sun and outshines them all. And His glorious appearing, ladies and gentlemen, will destroy that worker of evil and that worker of iniquity. That's right. Amen. That is right. They scoff God's power. And they scoff at God's purpose. That is to bring His creation to fruition. His glorious plan through the ages. And it'll not be thwarted either. God's a sovereign God. And He's going to do what He says He's going to do. I got to hurry. So there's going to be strong delusion. That's one of the signs. There's going to be scoffers in the last days. That's another sign. But I want to say thirdly, there's also going to be, it's going to be spiritually dangerous time. It's going to be a spiritually dangerous time. The Bible said, now listen carefully. I'm not going to go through all these. The Bible said in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you've heard this 1,000 times. That Bible said, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous times means spiritually dangerous. And they are spiritually dangerous. Now, listen to me carefully what I'm getting ready to tell you. Now, I've never seen this before now. But most preachers preach on the first of the story. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't tell the end of the story first. When I'm telling a story to the kids, I don't start from the back and go to the front. I start from the front and go to the back. But those things that he lists, men and lovers of themselves and all this and all that, that is only leading up to the last chapter that he's writing. That is only part of it. In that last chapter, here's what he says. He said in verse number 5, that these people in those spiritually dangerous times, that there will be those that will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. A form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. That is, hey, they're empty inwardly. They've got a form of godliness. You know what a form is? Anybody here pouring concrete? You got to build a form before you pour the concrete, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what this crowd is. They're a form without any concrete in it. They have a form of godliness. They have an outward appearance of godliness. But son, there ain't nothing on the inside. Bless the Lord, we're living in that hour. We are ever living in that hour. We're living in it. I never seen such a crowd of religious mongers living on the outside. Amen. That pretend they've got something on the inside. inside and wouldn't know God if he walked out in front of them. They got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, you can be baptized and be saved. Bull! You gotta speak in tongues to be saved. Hogwash! Gotta take the Eucharist. Baloney! My Bible tells me that they were damned because they believed not the truth. Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you why people die and go to hell, because they don't believe the gospel. That's exactly right. Amen. And that crowd is empty, friend. They've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Now, I want you to hear this. Somebody said, well, I don't really know who they are. Well, then I suggest you get saved.
Amen.
You say, preacher, do you have any word for that? I hope so in the text I just read. He said, denying the power thereof, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know the very next words he said? From such, turn away! How in heaven's name are you going to turn away from somebody you don't know? How are you going to turn away from something, religious practice, that you don't know the truth about it? He said, from that crowd that has that form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, turn away from them. Get away from them. Now somebody said, how can we know them? Buddy, I'm going to tell you, get acquainted with Christ, it won't have no problem knowing them.
Amen.
You can recognize them, neighbor. You better believe you can.
Amen.
And they're thick. They're running wild in America. And I'm going to tell you, we intermingle with them. They call me, want to have an interdenominational meeting. There was a time you might be able to do that. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day when you can't do that. How can I go up here and have communion with somebody that denies the sufficiency of the blood of Christ? I can't. How can I have fellowship with those that deny His power to save and keep sinners? I can't. When you deny that, you deny the very blood and the very power of the Lord Jesus. In fact, you're denying the Bible when you believe that. He said, from such turn away.
Amen.
You can't turn away from somebody unless you know what they're doing, what they're up to.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. I'll run up on a crowd down here that was drinking liquor. I wouldn't have to look two or three times to know they're drinking liquor. And if I knew they're drinking liquor, I'm not going to sit down beside them whether I drank any or not.
Right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, see you boys later. I don't want you to drink it, but if you're going to, I'm not going to hang around you.
Amen.
Right or wrong?
Amen.
How do I know they're drinking? One thing, I smell it.
Amen.
Next thing I know, their conduct.
Amen.
They're probably drunk, staggering, and wobbling around. I'm going to tell you, that crowd, you know them by their conduct. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Boy, I see we're running well this morning. Amen. They're easily recognized. He said, from such turn away. You can't turn away from something that you do not know. He said, and then thirdly, he said, men, these men are ever learning. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They fail. They fail to understand the truth. Can you get a hold of that? These people that are living in spiritually dangerous times, as we are today, the Bible said that there are those that are ever learning. They're not uneducated, friend. They're educated in that Bible. I mean, they can tell you more about the Bible than most Baptist preachers can. And they're ever learning. They're studious. They're students of the book. But the Bible said they're ever learning, but they got a problem. They can never come to a knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, until you come to a knowledge of that truth, you're not going to heaven.
Amen.
That's right. And they won't believe the truth. They'll believe a lie and be damned. That's what my text says. Can you get a hold of that? Ever learning. Tell them, we have got professors in schools all over America that are ever learning. But they're lost. And they're teaching their doctrine to young men that's going out into the world and preaching that mess. God help us. You know why they never come to knowledge of the truth? They've shut off the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When He has come, He will testify of me, is what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'm going to say until Christ, till the Holy Ghost opens up their understanding. They ain't going to get it.
Right.
Ever learning. Wise. Wise as they can be. I had a fellow in here one time. We was talking about Paul in Romans, where he talked about Christ destroying the body of sin. And he said, I hope you don't think that means this body here. Or that He might deliver us from the body of sin or something to that effect. Destroy the body of sin. He said, I hope you don't think it means this body right here. I said, well, what does it mean? He said, it's talking about the whole realm of sin. He's going to destroy the whole body of sin. Well, I'm going to tell you what I believe. The body that you're looking at right now, your pastor, this body is as sinful as anything that ever walked in shoe leather. And I'm going to tell you, the longer I serve God, the more I see that. But I'm telling you, I know a Lord that one of these days, He is going to destroy this body of sin.
Amen.
And He's going to rejuvenate.
Yes.
And there'll be a new body like His body.
Yes.
You better believe that's right. Thank God. Amen. Now, I got one more under this. They're ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But notice this. They are men who are at enmity with God. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth. They did what? They withstood Jannes and Jambres. Now here's my thought on that. These men that we're living in spiritually dangerous times. And these men that I'm referring about, they're men who are at enmity with the man of God. Now, I don't say that because I'm a preacher. I say that because it's in the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, I've preached this. I ain't said it in a long time, but I want to say it this morning. You can't be wrong with a preacher and be right with God. I don't care who you are. Brother, sister, uncle, aunt, or wife. You cannot be wrong with a preacher and right with God. It's an impossibility. Because he's called and put there by God. And I'm telling you, there's people that are at enmity with men of God all over the country. I've just heard of a church that we all know about that's having a falling away. People are leaving it. A good church. Brother Calvert told me on the phone there, then I was talking to him about his wife. He said, I'm glad you called. He said, Brother Hall, we can't have our camp meeting this year. I said, why not? He said, we've lost so many people that we got to borrow people to come to the camp meeting and use them to help do the work. And he said, I'm just not going to do that. And he said, the second reason is because of my wife. But he said, we just don't have enough people to do it. And he said, they've left us. They've left us. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't the only place. There's more places than one. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They are at enmity with the man of God. They'd be surprised at the men that will stand the preacher right to his face. God help them. They'll go nowhere with God. They may think they are. Because Jesus himself said there'll come a day when men will put you to death and think they're doing God a big favor. Oh, it's got quiet. It's got quiet. And I want to say, fourthly, and I'm closing, there'll be a strong delusion. There'll be scoffers. There'll be spiritually dangerous days. And sinfulness will be practiced without shame. I read that in the book of Matthew. It's also in the book of, in the book of Luke. It's also in Matthew if you want to read there. But it says in Luke 17:25. But he said, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Somebody said, what? Preacher, what is... Hey, listen to me. Do you know why I know that guy was a fake that called on talked about the rapture of the church? All these people following him, Brother Gray. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. You know what the Bible said in the book of Peter about the days of Noah? He said, few were saved. That is, eight souls. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. Do you think a whole carload's are going, friend, when the rapture takes place? I don't think there'll be many going at all. I don't think, somebody said, I don't think there'll be enough leave here to make a significant difference in what's going on in the world. I doubt seriously that they'll ever know that we're gone. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And that crowd will know not. Now listen to me carefully. If I interpret that right, what he's saying there in the days of Noah, it jumps the rapture. It jumps the rapture to the second advent to this earth 7 years later. For the flood came and took them all away. That crowd, friend, is going to, hey, there's going to be a crowd of sinners die when he returns. It's going to take them away and they're not going to know a thing about it until he comes on that white horse. I don't think the rapture, I don't think there'll be many missed. Some of your friends and relatives and things will miss us. It's gone. But I don't think they'll be multiplied. Oh, they're compared to the people that's on the earth. How many people is on the earth right now? Does anybody know? A trillion? Has it got to that many? 8 billion?
6 billion.
6 billion? 6 billion. How many out of that 6 billion do you think will be leaving here? Is there more than that?
Probably.
Seven? Well, when you get to 8 billion, what's another billion or two?
Another billion.
But I'll guarantee you, that 7, 8 billion, whatever it is, there ain't going to be many of them going, because as it was in the days of Noah. And there were few saved, that is, eight souls. What it says.
Amen.
There's not going to be many saved. Because that great falling away, that drifting away, is going to take care of that. There'll be few saved. Their faith, our faith in the last days will be mocked as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. When Noah was building that ark, I'm sure that they said, look at that old fool. He says it's going to rain. What's rain? Well, I've never heard of rain. He claims it's going to rain. But you know it can't rain because we've never heard of rain. Well, it can't be a rapture catching away. We've never heard of it. We've never seen it. It's never happened. Oh, but it's coming.
Amen.
The signs of the times are upon us. And so their faith was mocked. Can I ask you this? What did Lot's son-in-law say to him? When he said, get out of this city, God's going to destroy it. They said, you talk like a foolish man. God ain't going to destroy this city. But the day Lot went out of it, God rained fire and brimstone upon it.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you, people are there today. They're mocking. They're mocking our faith. They sure are. Our testimony. But as sure as I'm where I'm at and you're where you're at, they's coming today. When they'll experience the same wrath that those people in Sodom and Gomorrah did. Isn't that sad? That's sad. I can't understand why people won't believe the truth. Believe the gospel. Just a simple gospel. Folks, it's not hard to be saved. Simply believe the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm closing right here. The fear of God was scorned in those days. Noah said there's coming a flood. They didn't fear God. Lot said, God's going to destroy that city. They didn't fear God. There's not many that fear God today either. If they did, I believe they'd change their way of living. They really had fear of God. I can't understand why people don't fear hell. If you could catch a glimpse of what I saw in Kenai, Alaska years ago, it would change your mind about hell. It's a horrible place, folks.
Amen.
And if you can't, if you believe in heaven, you've got to believe in hell.
Amen.
But this generation, I'm telling you, they believe in heaven, but they do not believe in hell. They do not believe in hell. No, sir. And of the crowd living out there today, everybody is saved if they've got any kind of a religion. Our president said a few months ago that he wanted America to be a country where people could live here and people could worship the God of their choice. Well, there's only one problem with that. There ain't but one God. And he said, besides me, there's none else.
Amen.
And when man gives people the right to believe any God, we got problems.
Amen.
Our homes have problems, our churches have problems, and our country has problems. But the signs of the times are all around us. And let no man predict when, for they don't know the day or the hour. Let's stand together.